Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend, whatever you were doing, wherever you were. I know you were carrying the G. Good to see you here on a Monday where the free agent headlines, the news, as it were, has slowed down. As we expected, the Packers have seemingly done what they're going to do. Let the dust settle, let things settle in here in the offseason. Perhaps an addition or two is made throughout the next couple months, but certainly the initial flurry, as it were, is done and dusted, and the Packers will now turn their eyes towards the draft and acquiring talent via the player selection process. But of course, we never stop talking about the Packers, regardless of whether there's headlines or not. And that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV 365, baby. That's what we're all about, and I thank each and every one of you who joined me here Monday through Friday on Packers Daily. And today I did want to highlight, talk a little bit about offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich, a guy who I know is a bit of a lightning rod at times with certain sections of the fan base. I do think the majority of Packers fans don't really think about anybody other than the head coach and maybe the defensive coordinator. But I do know in the deep bowels of the internet, there on social media in particular, assistant coaches do come under fire. And I certainly in the past have defended Adam Stenovich because of the fact that most folks, including his critics, have no idea what he does. And look, you can talk about the need to improve in certain aspects of the offense, and reasons for criticism from the outside are pretty uninformed, right? We are frustrated with some results at times and can say, well, what's going on? What's wrong? Well, blame the offensive coordinator. But I tell you what, when the NFLPA grades came out and Adam Stenovich was graded C, a solid C by the players, it is not the end-all be-all. It is not an aha gotcha moment, but it's certainly a window into a situation that you have to suspect bears watching, bears exploring. Because when you look at the Packers' offense, since Stenovich has been made offensive coordinator, it has been a highly productive unit. They have been excellent at times. Last year, however, they were certainly still able to move the ball, generated explosives, all the things you want an offense to do, still scored a boatload of points at times, though we certainly saw them go through plenty of struggles. And that is where the concern most likely lies, if you're a player in particular, about the inability for this team to get on track at any point last season when it came to situational aspects of offensive football. I mean, again, they moved the ball. They scored points. They had generated explosives. This was all great, but they lost plenty of games because of the lack of situational excellence. Whether you're talking about four-minute offense, closing these games out, how many games did we see this team essentially waste away in the fourth quarter on offense, unable to salt things away on the offensive side of the ball? Short yardage situations. I mean, when your go-to repeatedly is inside zone to the point where the defensive line and the defensive front for the Philadelphia Eagles is literally calling out what you're about to run, to the thing that really stymied them throughout the season, the red zone offense or lack thereof as far as production goes. These are all areas where Stenovich needs to be additive. He needs to be helping figure these things out. Now, and I understand it is Matt's offense. LaFleur is the buck stops there, no question about it. But when you are repeatedly having problems in certain areas, you as an offensive coordinator have to be additive. You have to be a problem solver. You have to be bringing solutions to the table. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels as an offense. And that's what the Packers did way too much of in 2025. Now, I say all this with the caveat that, again, we don't know what he's tasked with doing, what areas LaFleur has him in charge of, working on, wanting to delegate other areas to maybe other position coaches, third downs, what have you. All of this is unknowable to us. But that window from the players grading a C for their offensive coordinator, who, by the way, as my friend Justice points out, of all the other guys, offensive coordinators who were graded C plus or lower in the NFL last year, every one of them is in a new gig this season. Every team made a change at that spot with a C-plus grade or lower from the players, except for the Green Bay Packers. Again, that's not the end-all be-all. It's not a smoking gun, but it's certainly a conversation topic and a window into an issue for the Packers that they have got to get right in 2026, especially considering how much they are counting on continuity on that side of the ball. Look at the offensive line, an area where, by LaFleur's own admission, Stenovich is still very heavily involved. They are coming off their worst offensive line performance in years. Now, you can talk about Luke Butkus, and he certainly is going to be under the microscope as well, but Stenovich has to get that figured out. That's his baby. That's his area of expertise, and they were downright bad along the front last year. That cannot be repeated, and given the fact that Steno's coming back, Butkus is coming back, and most of the starters from that offensive line are coming back, it falls on him and his crew to get that shit right. So, I don't want to beat a dead horse, and I don't want to talk about this as if it's a, like, doom and gloom scenario where I think, like, everything he's doing is terrible, because I don't. As I've said before, people love to point fingers and lay blame when things go wrong, and very rarely, if ever, give his name any shine when things are good and the offense is explosive or scoring a bunch of points, etc. It's very rarely the case where, oh, their offensive coordinator must be really... No, it goes to, oh, Matt LaFleur, the play calling, the game plan, etc., which is fine. Again, the buck stops with LaFleur. It's his baby. It's his offense. But there's zero doubt that they have got to be better situationally. And at some point, Stenovich has to be additive on offense. He can't just help LaFleur spin his wheels. That's a big, 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 big thing that I'll be watching for in 2026. Because they've got to be better in every one of those areas. And God knows that's what the offseason is for, to go back and look at how you struggled, come up with solutions for it, right? But inevitably, things will happen in season where you are going to have to pivot, and the things you did plan on perhaps are not working the way you hoped they would, i.e., oh, hey, we got Aaron Banks, and we're going to get this Anthony Belton kid, and we're going to be big up front, and we're going to road grade. Well, you're still not able to block for shit when it comes to the run game, and you're sitting there constantly in second and nine or even second and 10. You've got to be able to pivot as an offense, and Stenovich has to be part of that solution. We'll see what transpires over the course of the next couple weeks, months, what have you, leading into the season. And look, there's no, you know, the Packers still have not officially announced their coaching staff. It'll be interesting to see if there are any surprise additions or subtractions over the course of the next week or two. Last year, we got the announcement from the Packers, I believe, the first week of April. Still a couple weeks away from that. So we shall see. But as it stands right now, Stenovich, he needs to be better, and his offense needs to be better in 2026. No joke about that. How y'all doing, everyone? Good to see you all mixing it up. Get to your questions and comments in a moment. But right now, you guys know I got to give a shout-out to our friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into the green and gold, which is why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts everything into yours. Stay game day ready with nationally recognized heart care close to home. ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? How we living? What's going on in this crazy world of ours? All right. Mike Witt. What a shock. Starting with Mike. Thank you for being care of the G Club member, buddy. Hey, Nags, 24.5 inches of snow where I live in Wisconsin. I know it's just for a backup job, but I really wanted Justin Fields. Oh, well, go Pack, go. Yes, Justin Fields traded from the Jets to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is an interesting move, certainly for a Chiefs team that has their starting quarterback in rehab, essentially, for quite some time this offseason. You know, Mahomes dealing with the injury he suffered late last year. Going to be interesting to see what Andy Reid can get out of Justin Fields. And I'm with you, man. I thought that would be a good fit for the backup spot behind Jordan Love, but he will now be a Kansas City Chief. And look, everybody, Mike, everybody dealing with the blizzard there in Wisconsin, please stay safe. It looks absolutely insane out there. Well, we're getting a little bit of rain here in New York, but that's about it. Please stay safe wherever you are. Rob V, how you doing, man? Finally caught alive again. Happy off season. What's up, Rob V? Thanks for joining us. Good to see you. You know, we were just saying the other day, it's just not the same without Rob V. You know, that's we talk about you all the time, brother. I'm glad to see you again. E4, how you doing? Is there a place on your site to listen to your entire opening theme? Ever figure out who the band is? Will the Packers use it for the tunnel? I don't think the Packers would ever use anything associated with Cheesehead TV inside Lambeau Field. In fact, I've got historical documents proving such a thing. However, ever figure out who the band is? I don't. I could probably do a deep dive and go figure it out. It's from a music service that Corey and I subscribed to years ago, and I found that groove and that tune, and I really liked it. I'll have to go dig it out. I don't even think there is a, quote, full song. I think it is just a groove that a band came up with and sold the licensing rights to. But I will, I'll see what I can do, man. James, thank you for the super chat. Is there a chance Matt LaFleur decides to develop Ridder? It's so funny you say that, because I was reading Ryan Woods' piece for PackersNews.com today, where he kind of did a reset on the roster, looking at the depth chart. And I saw Ridder's name, and I thought, what if he's the reclamation project? I'm not going to say it's likely, but I'm not going to say it's impossible either. You know, don't forget, he quarterbacked an Atlanta Falcons team that beat Matt LaFleur's Green Bay Packers team a couple years ago. Not saying that that means anything, but if LaFleur and company, maybe Goody and company, consider the skills salvageable, so to speak, and think there's a chance they can make something happen with him, yeah, it's possible. Again, I think they'll continue to look. I'm going to be very surprised if they don't draft somebody on day three to come in and compete for the backup spot. But yeah, I think there's a chance, definitely. Max, how you doing, man? Future picks are worth less. 2027 first worth this year's second. Given the Packers draft philosophy, do you think the rule holds for pick trades in 2026? It's interesting, because I do know that a lot of people in the personnel business and the personnel side of things, scouts, personnel folks, what have you, consider the 2027 draft much more talent rich than the 2026 draft. Now, that said, when you're talking about worth of picks and you're talking about trade charts, right? I don't think anybody utilizes the classic Jimmy Johnson chart anymore. I know most teams have developed their own at this point, although some do kind of reference others when they're trying to like work out trades and or mock things out during the offseason. I can't imagine the Packers will be trying to do too much as far as getting into the 2027 draft from this draft, simply because of their comp pick situation, right? And the fact that they got that fourth from Dallas for Gary, they've got a really good bevy of ammo, so to speak, in 2027. But I think it really comes down to the particular player that might be in question and or being talked about, as far as if there's a team trying to trade up and the Packers feel that they've got a really good handle on the situation, et cetera. I think there are a lot of different kind of contextual things that might happen around that discussion. But more often than not, I think it's going to be pretty business as usual in that regard. I don't think they're going to see any wild swings or like out of character maneuvers from the Packers in that way. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. The football nerd in me, while I was snow blowing 24.5 inches of snow, was thinking, imagine if there was a Packers game today. We need another snow game next year. Come on, Mother Nature. Man, I love the snow games. I love the snow. I love all of it. It looked pretty damn crazy today. I'm gonna tell you something. I remember having a tennis class canceled when I was a junior at Appleton West on May 14th because of a blizzard. So, you know, it can continue to snow in Wisconsin for quite some time, but it would be nice if we got some of that snow prior to, say, the holidays. You know, it used to be you get tons of snow leading up to Christmas. Now we get tons of snow leading up to Easter. It's bizarre. And yes, I'd love another snow globe game, kind of like we had that Seattle playoff game years ago. That would be dope. E4, how you doing, man? Just want running backs to not get hit behind the line. A dream of every play caller and or running back in the league. No doubt about it. And that's what's really upsetting, is that I remember coming off of 2024, all the discussions about all the work that Jacobs did to make things happen after contact, and he was getting hit within half a yard of the line of scrimmage. And, oh, my God, imagine now that they're adding Banks and they're going to just blow people out of the water with their run game, and he and Jenkins are going to team up for all these big holes they're going to create, and Jacobs is going to be running into the second level untouched, and none of that materialized. Absolutely none of it. In fact, his, like, as far as the context of where he was being hit on average, actually went backward to, like, the line of scrimmage and or, like, a half yard before the line of scrimmage. It was a tough year up front for the Green Bay Packers, and they have got to be better in all aspects, pass pro as well as the run game. But it was tough living for Jacobs and company last year, no doubt about it. Zachary, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. Thanks. Quit rambling. Are the Packers selling the naming rights of Lambeau Field? I love it. No, not anytime soon. I'm glad you brought that up, though. It is interesting to see people's reaction to policies interview, the aggregation of policies interview. I wrote a little post at cheeseheadtv.com that I very much encourage you to read, because I do think it's smart on Ed Policy's part to get the conversation going. Because no, they're not going to sell the naming rights. They are going to sell naming rights to, like, the new workout facility, undoubtedly. Like, that's not news. I'm not breaking anything here, but that's guesswork on my part. But he mentions things like that in that interview, right? But I'll tell you what that naming rights thing is. That is a classic trial balloon. That is Packers PR and the Packers in general putting it out there into the ether to gauge response. Now, obviously, most Packers fans are like, that's horrible. We don't ever want that, blah, blah, blah. But I certainly saw people going, well, you know, if it was whatever at Lambeau Field, much like we've seen in Kansas City and Denver with the historic name still attached to whatever corporate sponsors there, I saw plenty of responses from Packers fans who were like, well, I could get used to this, black, or whatever. The Packers are watching all of that. I promise you that. And no, it's not imminent. But I tell you what, it is likely down the line, 10, 15 years from now, and the Packers will be working towards that to be competitive with their peers who are able to generate way more money in really easy ways that the Packers are not privy to. So no, those naming rights, Lambeau's not getting renamed anytime soon, but it's probably going to happen in my lifetime, which I didn't think was going to be possible, but now I find it pretty inevitable. This is, again, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years from now, but it is on the horizon. And I know no one wants to, like, kind of acquiesce to that idea, but the way the league is headed, it's going to be really irresponsible for the Packers to leave that on the table at some point. That point's not coming anytime soon, but it's coming by the time I'm in an old folks home, I'll tell you that. GB Faithful, what's going on, Jerry? Do you think we bring in another defensive tackle in free agency? Man, I had hoped so. You know, I saw Tomlinson got signed. I saw A'shaun Robinson got signed. So possibly down the line, maybe, but the picking's getting slim, right? I suspect it's going to be a position they attack early and often in the draft, though. Joe, what's up, man? Naming rights, Lambeau Field at Carry the G Beer sounds about right. You know what? You know what? You know what? I like the way you think.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Carry the G Beer, the official beer of Cheesehead TV, and soon to be the name under Lambeau Field. Okay, the last part I might have made up, but the rest of it is great. Mike Witt, how you doing, man? I'm still surprised nobody has kicked the tires on Christian Wilkins. Yeah, the Wilkins thing. After the episode with the Raiders, to have him essentially just kind of off the radar for a year, so to speak, that's kind of crazy. And would suggest that there's probably a little more to that story somewhere. Erica, don't you worry. Erica says, I think we just need to keep Lambeau Field and not rename it. Like I said, not going to happen anytime soon. Don't you worry. It's going to be Lambeau Field for quite some time yet. That ain't changing anytime soon. How about LiveX Stadium? There you go. Daryl, I think the Packers got better in the NFC North. I like it. I think you're right. No question about it. Funko, that's an image for sure. When Matt was on the tablet trying to figure out what's going wrong and Steno is nowhere to be found, Eagles Monday Night Football game. Yeah, that's an image. No question about it. But again, that's Matt's baby, right? And he's doing the work that needs to be done. And it doesn't mean Steno is incommunicado. They're all on the party line. All he's got to do is flip a switch to talk to Matt, you know? So it's not like he's nowhere to be found. He's in the conversation. But that image, again, when I said it at the time, that is a tough look. When your offense looks like it has forgotten the fact that the forward pass has been invented and you can't crack the code until late in the fourth quarter, yeah, it's tough. That's a tough look. That is a tough image. A prevailing image, no question. Soder, screw run blocking. Just throw the damn ball. Now, we've talked about it, Soder. I'm not, you know, completely averse to this idea. However, the run game helps your quarterback. It helps your offense. The play action game in particular can be lethal. Even without an effective running game, you still have to run the ball at times. You know that. I know you know this. So, I'm not averse to letting Jordan Love rip it. Being a very good running team, or hell, even just a adequate running team, would do wonders for Jordan Love and the passing game. All right, folks, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.